we're here.
Wow, and we're here with Mr. Ryan Donovan from Puna. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Mike.
Good, good. Glad to have you in the studio lounge as usual.
I am glad to be back.
Yeah, it's always fun having you here, especially when we're traveling internationally to see a familiar face. I'm like, hey.
We've had some good times over the years.
We have indeed. We have indeed. And that's a whole other show.
It's a whole other show.
So I know the conference is just getting started. Yep. We had opening ceremonies last night.
Yep.
That's always a goosebump type of event. So
yeah.
How was it?
Wasn't it great to see the Prime Minister of the Bahamas here? That was awesome.
Very impressive.
And the cadets carrying the flag, that was sort of a different twist on the flag ceremony. So I thought, and the keynote speaker was great too.
Yep. They do it right for sure here. Hey, we want to talk about global advocacy efforts. So what's the latest going on with the global advocacy efforts for credit unions these days?
One of the things that we're working on very closely with the World Council is this idea of proportionality in regulation. And it's the idea that regulations ought to be tailored for size, complexity, and structure of financial institutions. And it's not something that's really new, but it's something that hasn't been applied in a widespread range across the globe and certainly in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go back to Basel I and pick up some of the early concepts of proportionality. You know, they said that, you know, Committee on Banking Supervision put it out. It was one of the first global capital standards. And they were writing this regulation for international banks, large international banks. But regulators across the globe picked up Basel I, Basel II, and Basel III and applied them to financial institutions of all sizes and types and everything. And even NCUA, through their risk-based capital rule, has kind of a Basel III type of structure. Well, what the Basel Committee said, going back as far as Basel I, is that we're writing these rules for large international banks, and that if you apply these standards to other types of financial institutions, you should take into consideration their structure and their risk profile. That's great. That message isn't getting through to regulators, right? And we think that it can be applied in a number of other areas. And in the United States, we have structures both at the CFPB and the NCUA that kind of invite this notion of proportionality in the rulemaking. So for example, for the CFPB under Dodd-Frank, they have this authority to exempt any class of entity from their rules. And in fact, Congress said, when you use this authority, take into consideration the volume of transactions that the entities are providing, whether there are other laws, like the Federal Credit Union Act, for example, that might be applicable in the execution of the regulation. And we've been urging the CFPB to use that authority with greater alacrity for several years. If they did that, that would be taking more of a proportional approach. And NCUA, a little bit of an older organization, has implemented some proportionality in their rulemaking. They make exceptions or provide accommodations for small credit unions. And on the flip side of the coin, they have different standards for the very largest credit unions. That concerns us because what, you know, our view is sometimes they treat Navy, PenFed, Schools First, and the other very large credit unions as if they were Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan Chase. And they're clearly not.
Oh, not even close. Not even combined.
No, exactly. So that's a big issue. Proportionality in regulation is a huge issue at the global level. It's one of those things that we're taking from the global level and trying to advance in the U.S.
Well, how does it affect like a Navy or a PenFed or even, you know, even a smaller credit union?
Well, you know, okay, so for the large credit unions, what they're being asked to do by NCUA is to go through these huge stress tests on their balance sheets, similar to the SIFI designated banks, right? So they're hiring companies like Promontory and other groups, spending millions of dollars to stress test their balance sheets as if they were trillion-dollar banks. Unnecessary. Those resources could be better used to the benefit of their members.
Completely.
So that's on one side. You know, on the other side, where it's at the CFPB, what we're seeing is, okay, the remittance rule. If you wanted to look through it from a certain point of view, you could say, okay, the remittance rule that has a 100 transaction threshold is a proportional approach to remittance regulation. Except that no institution that only does 100 remittances a year is actually doing remittances, right? And so what you do in that situation when you set that threshold too low is you drive folks into the doors of the institutions for whom the regulation was actually written, right? So we're encouraging the CFPB to raise that threshold to 1,000.
I would think so, yeah.
Another way that the CFPB has approached proportionality is in the small dollar and payday rule, where they said, if you're a credit union, a federal credit union, and you're using the payday alternative loan program from NCUA, those loans are exempt. Okay, that is proportionality based on the applicability of other laws, right? Okay, well, what if you took that a step further and you said, if you're doing small dollar loans and you are an institution that is chartered under the Federal Credit Union Act, then those loans are exempt.
Right.
And so we are working on that, trying to advance that clause. Of course, the broadest application of that proportionality from the CFPB would be using that authority to its full impact and saying, hey, if credit unions aren't causing the problem, which is why we're writing a new rule, let's keep the standard the same as it always has been for credit unions and set a different standard for the folks causing the problems.
So when they're writing new rules like this type of stuff, do they not take, I mean, it just seems like a common sense type of thing. I mean, maybe just me looking from the outside looking in. I mean, I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but it just seems like a common sense thing.
On the consumer side, on the consumer protection side, really coming out of the crisis for the last 10 or 11 years, what they've tried to do is make sure that consumers are getting the same level of protection regardless of where they're getting the product,
totally
right?
Yeah.
But you can get the same level of protection without having stronger rules on entities that have been providing that level of protection all along.
Okay, all right. And so this is what you're going to be talking about here, right?
Yep. We've got
amongst other topics.
Right. We've got a session on that this afternoon on Monday, and I think it's going to be a big topic, just in that session, but throughout the conference.
So what are the chances or the possibilities of this being changed or to be more appropriate for...
Well, Mike, you're inviting me to say that advocacy is a marathon, not a sprint. It's a process, not an event.
I mean, this
is something that we constantly have to work towards.
Yeah.
It's not something where we're going to get to a point where we're going to say, okay, you know what, we did it. We got proportionality.
Yeah.
It's something that we're going to have to always push regulators towards.
Okay. Gosh, it is a process for sure. So what else is going to be talked about here at the conference that needs to be addressed, especially on an international level?
Well, I think that there'll be a number of sessions, a lot of discussion regarding technology and particularly blockchain. That's a big topic that I'm seeing already here. And really the focus there is making sure that credit unions across the globe have the information, the technology that they need in order to meet the needs of their members. So this is one of the great things about this conference is that it is an opportunity to exchange information, exchange best practices.
Yeah.
And what I always tell folks, particularly from the US that come to this conference, is you're gonna come and you're gonna give something. You're gonna give your expertise, your experience, and you're gonna have some great networking here. You're gonna take home more than what you end up getting.
Extremely.
And so I think the topics around the technological innovations are going to be really key here.
Yeah, because I mean, in many cases, especially technology, Europe is ahead of the US, Australia, Asia, all that, a lot of folks are ahead of us. So talk about gaining something and taking it back. So,
you know, mobile payments in places like Africa have been, you know, going on a lot more than they were in the United States. We're catching up in that area.
Oh my gosh, such good stuff. Good stuff here. What do you want to take away from this conference? When you take it back to CUNA and go, hey, this is what I learned.
Well, so I've got a couple of opportunities to interact with my colleagues that do advocacy and other systems. So I'm interested in knowing what are the challenges that they're facing and how they're going about addressing them. We'll have a World Council Advocacy Committee meeting tomorrow where we'll have the opportunity to do that. And then really just networking with folks to get a better sense of what's on the minds of their members and how they're going about serving them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it's all about. We'll always win when we keep credit union members at the center.
Indeed, yeah. They're on the front lines, basically. Yeah. So good. So yeah, we just had Andrew Price in here, and he talked about sustainable financing, de-risking, which I knew nothing about, and now I know a little bit more about it thanks to him. So,
well, financial health is an incredibly important topic too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that, you know, credit unions have this responsibility as part of our mission to help promote thrift, promote savings, provide access to credit for provident purposes.
Yeah.
Yet, in the United States, most Americans don't have $400 to cover a financial
emergency.
That's
an amazing stat.
And credit unions have a role to play, I think, in solving that issue and helping address that issue. And so, learning more about how credit unions across the globe are going about helping their members with financial health, there might be some ideas that we can bring back to the United States.
I agree wholeheartedly. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
So like one giant big global brainstorming session.
No,
so
it really is.
I love it. I love it here. All right. Anything else, Ryan, to add to wrap up?
No, just, I mean, obviously the focus is on our global efforts this week. There's a lot going on domestically. We've had some success in getting some accommodations and some robocall legislation through Congress. There's still some ways to go on that, but we're trying to keep the government from getting in between the credit union and their members in telecommunication. Also, we're working really hard, particularly in a number of states that are facing bank attacks. And so making sure that first, everyone understands that our tax status is based on our structure and mission.
Right.
And then going into the states and really demonstrating the impact credit unions are having in communities. The banks are always going to come after us. We're always going to be serving our members and proving our mission.
Yep.
But it's going to be something we've constantly got to be at.
Well, we succeeded in Iowa last year, so we've got to take that into other states.
We've had some victories, to be sure. Iowa for certain. But what you see is that there's a lot of spillover, particularly in the states that border Iowa. The banking associations are ramping up their efforts. We're working closely with the leagues. You know, for Credit Union National Association, our role is to support the league efforts.
Yeah.
There's some innovative things that are happening there. And I think as these attacks continue, you're going to see us continue to push back and be even more aggressive than we have been over recent years.
Yeah, that stuff's never going to stop. Talking about process.
Well, and frankly, we should always be in a position where we're ready to talk about our mission, how we're meeting the needs of our members. That's a conversation we should welcome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All righty, sir. Great message to end on. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Good to see you.
Keep up the good work, all right?
Thank you so
good
much.
Good job. Ryan Donovan, everybody. Cuna! Thanks.